Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition, this special edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 15th of May 2017 as we discuss Wizards Celtics postgame. The Boston Celtics advancing to play the Cleveland Cavaliers with a 115-105 victory over the Washington Wizards. There will be no celebration in D.C. As the Wizards go down in Boston. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram page at Willow Gerald Quinn. Go to iTunes.apple.com and look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast and click or review, click on any amount of stars. You prefer 5 stars, but we'll take 4. Click or comment on our particular page. Again, the Wizards season is over. They give up in every game at Boston. They give up at least 115. They give up 129, 123, 115, and I think 121 was the other game. It might even be less than that, but at least they gave up at least 115 in every single game in Boston. Again, we know why teams are now 102-26 all time on the road, at home in game sevens. Normally the better team has home court. But also, you know, that momentum in game sevens comes easier for the home team. Like when the Wizards were up by 6 in the third quarter, you felt good, but you see how quickly that lead went. It disappeared before you snapped your fingers. That lead was gone. And, you know, a couple of three-pointers. Isaiah Thomas had a big stretch with it, like back-to-back threes. You saw Marcus Smart hit a three. And the Celtics never looked back as they were going to lead in the fourth quarter by as much as 13 points before the Wizards went on a 7-0 run after a Scott Brooks timeout. After a Scott Brooks timeout midway through the in the fourth quarter. But listen, you're not going to win a game seven that is offensive dominated if you're the road team. Look at what Cleveland did at Golden State last year. It was 93-89. Despite LeBron James, despite Kyrie, despite all the heroics in games 5 and 6, they won it with their defense against a great offensive team in Golden State. You're on the road. Because what happens is, offensively, you'll have a guy, the whole team will have a guy, if the game is the offensive dictated game, get hot like a Kelly Olynyk, who will never, ever have a better playoff game for the rest of his life. The guy had 26 points, and the guy has 26 points off the bench. Jaylen Brown played well off the bench. Marcus Smart played off the bench. And that is what did the Wizards in this game, and why they're going home is because they got destroyed on the bench 48-5, something that we, you know, in these parts of the DMV understand in watching the Wizards how terrible their bench is. And clearly everybody except he's not from the DMV, but he watches a lot of basketball, supposedly. Clearly everybody understood that except Charles Barkley, who was begging and pleading Scott Brooks to play bench people because of the heavy minutes that John Wall and Bradley Beal played. Beal played 46 minutes, John Wall played 44 minutes. I mean, again, Charles Barkley clearly has not watched the Wizards all season long. They have one of the worst benches in the NBA by far. It's not even close. I mean, their bench is awful, and that's something they're going to have to address in the offseason. But that's what it came down to. I mean, Boston had more people to go to, even when Isaiah Thomas wasn't dominating the game. And again, Isaiah Thomas, you have to give him all the credit in the world in this game because he was very patient 29, forget about the numbers, 29 points, 12 shots, had the biggest stretch of the game as far as I'm concerned with the two, with the back-to-back three-point shots that put the Wizards, that helped the Celtics take control of the game. They were down by three. He hits back-to-back threes for them to go up by three. Then Smart comes back with another three for a 9-0 run. Next thing you know, they were up by six, and they never looked back after that. But, you know, the Wizards bench ends up doing them in. Again, they got destroyed. The only 5 points they got out there in the entire game was by Bogdanovich, who had all 5 points. Uber, you didn't see him. Jason Smith, you saw for like a couple minutes. Brandon Jennings, about 6-7 minutes. So clearly, you can't knock Scott Brooks for not playing those guys. Yeah, those guys haven't been factors all year long. Haven't been a factor all year long. So I'm not going to knock those guys I'm not going to knock Scott Brooks for not playing the bench. Listen, you're going to get a classic overreaction to how John Wall played. Let me pull up his numbers here. I think he was 8 for 23, or either 8 for 24. 18 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, missed his last 10 shots. Here's the bottom line. There's no game 7 without John Wall. Period. There's no game 7 without John Wall. I give the Celtics, defense credit, not so much for the missed shots, but for keeping him away from the rim, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, he did not get into transition at all in the fourth quarter. All his shots were jump shots. Now, you can knock Wall and say, hey, go to the hole, you're athletic. They don't have great shot blocking. You know, Hope is a decent shot blocker. He's not a great shot blocker. That's fair. But, listen, that guy, there's nothing outside of pulling a James Harden that John Walker did that would have changed my opinion of him following this game. He was phenomenal in the playoffs. He elevated his level. He elevated his status in the NBA to another level as far as I'm concerned. He's a legit star player, franchise player, a guy that you can build around. Now, again, I don't know if you can win a championship with him as your best player. There's not too many of those guys that ever lived in the NBA, so that's not a knock. But you definitely can get in the playoffs. You definitely could get to a possibly in the Eastern Conference final with John Wall as your best player. Bradley Beal was the best player on the court. He was phenomenal in this game. 38 points, single-handedly kept the Wizards from getting blown out, especially in that fourth quarter when it looked like Boston was going to run away and hide. He was tremendous. And again, his reputation as a big game player just added to it. This guy is not afraid of anything, not afraid of the moment by any stretch of imagination. He was, again, he was off the charts great in this game. And again, really kept the Wizards from getting destroyed in this game, especially when Boston made that run at the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. 115-105, Wizards go down. Boston will advance to play Cleveland in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals come Wednesday. Cavaliers have had, it seems like an eternity off, at least I'm thinking about 10 to 12. It'll be, 12, 13 days that they will have off. So if Boston wants to win one of the first two games, they're going to have to get game one. They're not going to win. I'm saying that with them having a home court advantage, they're not winning both games in Boston. It's not going to happen. The best they can hope for is splitting Boston, splitting Cleveland, and come back game 5-2-2. But we have plenty of time to talk about that. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will return to the scene of the crime, San Antonio, Golden State. Dirty play or not, I'll tell you why that should not be the issue. We'll talk about that and much, much more in the special edition of Cyril Joe Quinn post-game report. Wizards, Celtics 115, Wizards 105. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. The D.C. Wizards go down 115-105. I really thought the Wizards could win this game. I thought that they had a better-than-puncher's chance to win this game because I thought that they had the best player on the floor. I knew Bill would play a good game. Bill is a guy who you want in the clutch in a big game. He's not afraid of anything. So I felt good about him. The question was going to be, would they be able to get enough out of the likes of Porter and Mark Morris and, you know, even Oubre. I didn't think Oubre wouldn't play at all, but I guess, you know, Scott Brooks basically said, you know, this game seven, I got to go with the people I trust. So I thought the Wizards would get more out of their role players, but it didn't even come down to that. Listen, it came down to their defense. The Celtics for the game shot about 53% over the course of the game, shot 53%. You're not going to be a team on the road allowing them to shoot 53%. Again, it is almost impossible to win a road game seven that is offensive dominated. The Wizards had to get this game a little bit dirty, a little more physical. It was too free flowing. Once Boston got into the offensive rhythm where they moved the ball, making threes, then you allow a guy like Olenek, Jalen Brown, Marcus Smart to feel comfortable with their offensive games. If you notice in defensive games, especially in a game seven when the pressure is ramped up that much higher, that those role players kind of tend to disappear. Now they might have they might do a couple of intangible plays, a couple of block shot, diving on the floor, but they're not going to score the basketball in a game that's defensive, that has a defensive theme to it. This game was dominated by the offense from the start, 55-53, a lot of shot making, a lot of great individual plays. This played into the Boston's hands because again at home you're going to be tough to stop a team's momentum on the road, especially a team that can shoot the ball. That's a streaky shooting team like Boston from the 3-point line. So you have Golden State falling. Not falling, but Golden State taking out San Antonio last night, yesterday afternoon, and again, the game almost becomes an afterthought after the play, the Kawhi Leonard, Zaza Pachulia play, which could have changed the not only that series, but could have changed the playoffs. I'm not gonna call it a dirty play, and this is why. I just don't think a guy is that calculated to know where the shooter is going to land. Now, is it a play? Here's what I'll say about the play. It has no place in basketball. Okay? It has no place in basketball because the NBA has sold me on this quote-unquote new NBA that is softer than drugstore cotton. I mean, how many times did we go to the replay booth when a guy gets elbowed or there's a foul above the shoulders? And that's fine. As a fan, I can adjust my way of watching the game, just like players have to adjust how they play the game. More three-pointers, more scoring. The Knicks of the 90s, the Pistons of the 90s, those teams couldn't play in this era with the physicality. They just couldn't. So that's fine. That's part of life. We all adjust, adapt to our surroundings, to our job, whatever. But don't sit up and tell me at the NBA that you're protecting the players when you still allow that kind of foul, that kind of play to happen. That should have been a flagrant one, period. Should have been a flagrant one and a fine. I can make it a case, it could even have been a flagrant two. Kawhi Leonard is a top three player in this league. My opinion, the second best player in the world. This series, where is this series about Kawhi Leonard? You know what it is? 4-0 sweep without Kawhi Leonard. You have to protect your players if you're the NBA. And if you're going to go out here and just shove down my throat that we don't allow that kind of physicality in today's game, then that call is not shouldn't be a common foul. It's a flagrant two. Petrunia's out of the game. Because I've seen the play 100 million times. Bruce Bowen used to make a living doing that play. Dante Jones did to Kobe Bryant a couple times. One time he knocked him out for a couple of weeks, or at least a week with a severe ankle sprain. So we've seen that play a lot in the over the course of NBA history. It's nothing new. Jalen Rose did to Kobe, you know, way back when in the NBA Finals, and basically admitted to doing it purposely. But it is a play that does not belong in basketball. Period. Not in today's NBA. Maybe in the year 2000 or 1997 or 1992. Not in 2017. That play does not belong in the NBA. So Popovich, Petrunia, all the talk and rhetoric, blah 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 blah, whatever. I don't even care about that. I don't care what Popovich says. He's protecting his player. Petrunia's not going to admit to being a dirty player. I've yet to meet a player in the NBA, whether they're dirty or not, say, I'm a dirty player. So it's unfortunate because I wanted to see Golden State under some game pressure. They were going to lose that game, and they were going to lose it by double digits. San Antonio was in total control of that game despite the onslaught by Steph Curry in that third quarter. They were up by 20, over 20 points when Kawhi Leonard got hurt, or 21 or 23. And I'm not saying San Antonio wins the series if Leonard doesn't get hurt. What I'm telling you is the series would have been a classic, and we would have got 7 games out of it. And if there's one team that can win a 7-game on the road, maybe it's the Spurs. You going to doubt them in a 7-game? But we're not even going to get that now. Now the series is just, you know, it's really clear. I mean, now we would have to go into – you know, pace ourselves to June 1st. That Golden State-San Antonio series had a chance to be a classic in terms of X's and O's. Can San Antonio play two bigs? Can Golden State handle their physicality? Because Golden State has no answer for Aldridge. None. And I don't think Golden State can defend them playing two bigs, to be honest with you, with a healthy Kawhi Leonard. I thought the two bigs gave Golden State problems. A lot of people I talked to thought that they couldn't play two bigs. I talked to a couple of people who thought San Antonio could not play two bigs. I disagree with that because I saw what Cantor and what Adams and Cantor did to Golden State last year. And you have Kawhi Leonard, you know, would have had Kawhi Leonard as a possible stretch forward, just like Oklahoma City had Kevin Durant. With that being said, you know, give Golden State credit. I mean, Golden State does what championship teams do. They took advantage of it. Curry looked as good as he's looked, you know, since, you know, going back to last year. I mean, he's fully back to being the MVP Steph Curry. Durant was great. Draymond Green was quiet, but still, you know, played his usual, you know, solid defense. So I give Golden State credit for taking advantage of the moment, taking advantage of the situation. Now, I give San Antonio credit. Now, listen, San Antonio, I understand your best player is going down, by far your best player, but you've got to find a way to win that game. You have to find a way. You have 23 points. You have veteran players. You have guys. You have even young players, Dejounte Murray, Simmons, who are not afraid of the moment. You got to find a way to win that game. You have to find a way, whether it's slowing down the pace, whether it's taking the air out of the ball, you have to find a way to win that game. Because if you win that game, game two, you can lose by 100. It doesn't matter. Okay, game two is on Tuesday. Game three is not until Saturday at home. So you have Kawhi, we have almost, a full week to get recovered. And I'll say this about San Antonio and about their organization in regards to Kawhi Leonard's ankle. About, I want to say about 2000, 2001 playoffs, probably, I think it was 2000, when Grant Hill was with the Pistons. Watched Grant Hill hurt his ankle a couple of times. I believe the Pistons were playing the Heat. in a playoff series when they were going just first round best of five. I believe it was the first round best of five series. Grant Hill got hurt his ankle, and tried to come back. And I'm telling you right now, he was never the same. His career was never the same. San Antonio is as smart of an organization as there is in sports, not just basketball, but in sports. I'm not sure that if Kawhi isn't, 1,000% Saturday, that I don't sit him down for the rest of the series. Remember, this is an organization that sat Tim Duncan down coming off a championship in 2000 because of a knee situation, and it changed the course of his career. I mean, it saved his career in essence. He would end up like maybe Penny Hardaway or Amari Stoudemire with that same he had that same knee injury, a microfracture in his knee before we even had a lot of information on that particular injury. So I am going to be as cautious as you can possibly be with Kawhi Leonard. 25 years old, a guy who, if I'm starting a team right now, I'm starting with Kawhi Leonard. But he's not expected to play in game two. They already say he's going to be doubtful for game two. And I'm telling you right now, game three, I would have to see him go through full agility. I have to see him go through a full practice before I would even think about playing him in game three or for the rest of the series. Because this is, he's hurt his ankle basically three times now, twice. This is the same ankle. It's not a different ankle. It's the same ankle that you hurt in the prior series against Houston. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, the greatest of all time decides to skip out. We'll talk about that and the Wizards' demise on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. It's the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Post game, Wizards go down 115-105. You hear 26 points out of Kelly Olynyk. I mean, go figure. He will never have a performance like that in the playoffs ever. He gets 26. Marcus Smart, I thought, played well. Basically, if not for Marcus Smart, Bradley Beal might have 50. He was lighting Avery Bradley up. Bradley Beal was killing Avery Bradley. And Avery Bradley is an all-world defensive player. He's a great defensive player, not a good defensive player. He's a great perimeter defensive player. But he couldn't handle Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, 38 points, had a big fourth quarter, really kept the Wizards, heads above water. Tough night for John Wall, tough fourth quarter, missed his last 10 shots, but again, still came out 7 rebounds, 11 assists. Isaiah Thomas was tremendous in this game, and I'm just beyond the stats, 29-12, but his patience throughout the course of that game, he really allowed the game to come to him, went out of his way. I think both point guards did this in the beginning, went out of their way to get other people involved. When Olynyk had it going, Isaiah Thomas was hitting him with pinpoint passes. He had 12 assists on the night and really had the most important stretch of the game late in that third quarter. When it looked like the Wizards had, I'm not going to say had bust on the Wizards, but, Wizards are playing well at that point, up by four, playing some good basketball. Bill starting to get hot, and Isaiah Thomas scored 6 straight points. Get the Marcus Smart three, so you go from three down, not four down. They go from three down, three up to six down before you blink your eye. And after that, the Wizards could not, Celtics would not look back as they were going to just shoot the lights out in the second half. I believe they shot well over 60% in the second half, shot 53% for the game. Wizards shot about 48% for the game, 45% for the game. Their percentage dropped in that fourth quarter. They were shooting close to 50% after three quarters, but it really dropped in that fourth quarter. Late in the game with some missed shots outside of Bradley Beal. Listen, if you're the Wizards moving forward, you know what it is. I mean, they have to upgrade that bench. The Wizard bench, the Boston bench destroyed the Wizard bench, and the Boston bench had not even been great over the course of the series. It's really been inconsistent throughout the course of the series, but they really had their way in this game 7, 48-5, and it just wasn't all of that. You know, like I said, Marcus Smart played well, had 13 points. Jaylen Brown had some big buckets in the first half, had 9 points. So the Wizards really need to upgrade that in the offseason. You have to have at least, you know, to do any damage in the playoffs, I think you have to have 8 guys that you can trust, at least 8, 7.5 to 8. Right now the Wizards have 5.5, 5 in the possible, basically. I mean, that bench is absolutely non-existent. They're going to have to get in. They're going to upgrade that. We'll see what happens in the offseason. As far as the Celtics can go moving forward, again, good luck. Yes, Celtics, good luck. I mean, it's not a good matchup against Cleveland. That's part of the reason why I was rooting for the Celtics, for the Wizards to win, because I thought the Wizards could at least put up some resistance against Cleveland. I really did. I thought the Wizards could do a couple things against Cleveland. Neither one of those teams are going to beat Cleveland, but I just think that the Celtics are just absolutely tailor-made for Cleveland. They cannot defend Cleveland by any stretch of the imagination. Now, it'll be a fun, high-scoring series, but Cleveland, you know, will win. I'll give Celtics one home game, maybe game two, maybe game one, because I think Cleveland will be rusty. You can't help but to be rusty after 10 to 12 days off. So maybe Boston gets game one. No more than one game. I mean, no more than one game. I just can't see Cleveland messing around, especially if Golden State dust off San Antonio in 4 or 5 games. Especially. So we'll see what happens with the conference finals. Again, Kawhi Leonard, I don't expect Kawhi Leonard to play tomorrow night. I would think he'd be questionable for game 3. I'm calling shots now. If I'm R.C. Buford and Peter Holt and the rest of the San Antonio Brass, Greg Popovich, again, you're dealing with a franchise player. I would not mess around with Kawhi Leonard and an ankle injury. I just wouldn't. I wanted to get this in. I'm probably not going to make you have to get it. I'll post it on Facebook about Mr. Federer taking a major off. I'll post it on Facebook. So I wanted to get that in. And a couple other things I wanted to get in. But again, it's NBA late night. Tomorrow, game 2, Golden State, San Antonio. We'll see. Listen, San Antonio will put up a fight. We know that. But I have a feeling Golden State will have their way in that particular game. I don't think Golden State actually played well. Golden State came out flat. Came out flat in the game. Besides, you know, what San Antonio was doing, Golden State came out very much flat and was going through the motions. Also, I found it curious, and I didn't hear this talked about enough. Steve Kerr, are you coaching? What are you doing? So Steve Kerr's in the locker room before the game. Not only before the game, he's in the locker room at halftime. So if I'm Mike Brown, Mike Brown's happy just to be on the NBA bench, but it's not a lot of respect having the head coach in the locker room during halftime. So I wonder if – don't be surprised to see Steve Kerr in game 3. Don't be surprised. I don't expect to see him game 2 on the bench, you know, giving out orders. But don't be shocked if he's around in game 3, because I found that very curious that he was in the locker room at halftime of that game. That's going to wrap it up for this next edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. as we discuss the world of sports. So long. Enjoy your night.